I also will invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22. It's amazing how we often find ourselves somewhere in that journey of sanctification. So a good reminder this morning from Sabin and from Kaya from the New City Catechism that the justification is what Jesus has done for us on the cross, but the sanctification is this ongoing process by which Jesus makes us more and more right with God, or the Holy Spirit does, excuse me. And so part of this sermon this morning is really talking about our sanctification. What is the process? What's our part of the process, and perhaps where are we now in becoming more and more like God? But I want to remind you, just before we get to our passage for today in Acts chapter 9, that over that last week we talked about Acts 6 and 7, looking at the story of Stephen, the testimony really of Stephen, and how Stephen gives us a picture and Scripture gives us a picture of the church that's set aside by God, called out. The word that we translate as church is literally means called out. The church are the people who are called out by God, not for our own purpose, but for the good of God's kingdom and for the good of the world. And so we saw that again last week as we looked at the story of Stephen. And this morning, we're going to look at Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 1 and reading actually through verse 22. And so we just saw the story of Stephen, and actually what comes right before this is a passage we skipped, which is Philip's encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch. But what's happening is that the message of Jesus, the message of freedom and salvation and a new identity for God's people, is being spread throughout the known world. And then we come to our passage today. Meanwhile, while all this is going on, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, that's the way of Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Saul fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there, speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind. He did not eat or drink anything. Now, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a dream. "Ananias," he said. "Yes, Lord," Ananias replied. The Lord said to him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done against your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with the authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings, and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said to him, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he has sent me to you so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in their synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was 10 years old, I, for the first time, was asked the question, "Do you want to be a minister like your dad?" I didn't want to put a picture of 10-year-old me up there because I figured it'd be way too distracting how cute I was. It's all gone downhill since then. But for the first time, at 10 years old, I was asked, "Do you want to be a minister like your dad?" And as I reflected that on that question years later, it struck me that no one ever asked, "Do you want to be a minister?" They only ever asked, "Do you want to be a minister like your dad?" And I love my father, and I have a lot of respect for him, but in many ways, we're different people. And so my answer was always no. Not because I didn't want to be like my dad, but I never thought I would be. And so here I am, a minister, though in some ways perhaps like my dad, but I think in many ways not. But I tell you that story this morning because I think we're very good at comparing ourselves to others, aren't we? Perhaps somebody asked you that question too growing up. Do you want to be just like your father when you get older? Do you want to be just like your mother when you get older? Maybe you've asked your children that same question. Do you want to be like me or somebody else when you grow up? It strikes me as we look at the story of the Apostle Paul that when it comes to our faith, many of us wish that we had a testimony like the Apostle Paul's testimony, that we had a story like his story, that we had a story of amazing transformation that in the blink of an eye, or even better, a flash from heaven, our entire lives were changed. That we are walking down a road literally or figuratively, and God just knocked us down. We were never the same. The truth is that some of us have amazing, incredible stories just like that. Stories of transformation that happens in a moment or even in a short time. But for many of us, the story of our sanctification, the story of our following Jesus, is a story that happens inches at a time. Maybe it's a story that after a decade or after a few years, we look back on and we think to ourselves, "Huh, I suppose I am following Jesus more today than I was last year, than I was 10 years ago. I suppose I have seen some progress and some change, some transformation." But for many of us, I think, while Paul's change was revolutionary and momentary, or that it happened in a moment, even though it lasted for the rest of his life, for many of us, the revolutionary change that God works in us is really at what seems like an evolutionary pace. Or just a little bit here and there. So what is it then that we can learn from Paul's story? If, as I'm alluding to, the takeaway that we should not have today is, well, you ought to have a story like the Apostle Paul. You ought to look for a moment or an hour or even a day in which you are saved. If that's not the takeaway, then what should we learn from today's passage? Well, the first thing we see in our passage is that Saul, who's later called Paul, Saul is a zealous man. He's passionate for the God as he understands him, the God that he is defending and working for, both in Jerusalem and about 100 miles north toward Damascus. If you remember last week, our text actually ended with the stoning of Stephen, and the last words of the text were, and a young man named Saul was there giving his approval. People laid their coats at his feet, a sign of respect and honor. Saul was a powerful and zealous, a passionate man. And even we see that in our text for this morning as well, that Saul is not only content to persecute the followers of the way in Jerusalem, but that he's going miles around. He's passionate in his pursuit of the followers of the way. He's passionate in his persecution of the church. You might say, perhaps, that Paul is passionate, but he doesn't see with God's eyes. Paul has his own agenda, he has his own plan, and he's passionately pursuing it. But then, as many of you know, having heard this story before, when Jesus does knock Saul off his horse and blinds him, what happens is that Saul's passion doesn't go away. Instead, Saul begins to see with God's eyes. God gives Saul new eyes to see the world as God sees it. And that same passion that he had to begin with is a passion that's now informed by a new mission. It's the same passion, but it's redirected toward the things of God. Again, if we think that we want a story like Paul's story, I wonder how much we're impacted by Jesus' words to Ananias, or whether there's a relationship here. And Jesus says to Ananias, "I will show Paul, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." And whether we think directly of the testimony of Saul or not, I think many times when we think about following Jesus, when we think about our testimonies, it's a testimony that has a lot to do with suffering. In fact, I'd go so far as to say many of us feel like unless things are really hard, unless things really suck and they're difficult and painful, it doesn't really feel like we're following God. Maybe it feels like we should be trying harder or giving up more. Maybe we should just be suffering a little bit more. Then we're really following Jesus if we're having a hard time. But what we see in this story is that certainly suffering will come. And if you know the story of the Apostle Paul, then you know that Paul does go through many trials and difficulties and a lot of pain in following Jesus. He gives up a lot and eventually gives up his entire life unto death for the name of Jesus. But here, in the story of Saul's conversion, it's actually a story that's full of joy. A story that's filled with the Holy Spirit's power and the wonder and amazement of all the people. Imagine for a moment that you're blind, that you cannot see for several days. And then the Holy Spirit brings light to the darkness. The healing of the Lord brings sight to your blindness. Saul's reaction is immediately to be baptized. He witnesses the power of the Holy Spirit and responds in obedience. The Jews and the Christians, the followers of the way, are amazed. They're in wonder at the power of the Apostle Paul that's used to be a blessing to the church, to the early church. They celebrate. They ask themselves, isn't this the same man who went around persecuting the Christians, the followers of the way? And now Luke tells us that he proves to them that Jesus is the Christ. What an amazing, joyful, wonderful moment in this story, in this testimony that perhaps we often even skip over. The fact that, yes, life is full of difficulty. Life is full of suffering. And yet even as we step into the summer, which is for many of us a time of more joy, more rest, more recreation, being recreated. Even as we step into the summer, that part of our story might not be difficulty and suffering. That we can follow Jesus in the joy and the fun. That we can follow Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit wherever we go, wherever he takes us. And remember, too, that Paul's story is not your story. Paul's story is instructive to us because he serves as a model for those of us who follow Jesus, one of many models. And there's much that we can learn from him. But the Lord hasn't called any of you, any of us, to be missionaries in Rome or Italy or Greece. For now, at least for today, at the moment, he's called all of us to be in Grand Junction. And not in the first century, but in 2018. And so, although there's a lot we can learn from Saul, his story is not our story. And it doesn't mean that our story, that your story, is any less valuable or less important. As we go into this long weekend, or the remainder of this long weekend, I want to come back to the Apostle Paul's passion. Because I think that is something that we can learn from. It said, as we started, that Paul was a passionate, zealous man, but he didn't see with God's eyes. And it took God knocking him off his horse and blinding him for him to be able to see what it was that God was calling him to do, both literally see it and metaphorically see it. As we go into this weekend, or we're halfway through this long weekend now, I know many of you well enough to know that you too are passionate people. There's a lot of things that you enjoy doing. And probably a long weekend or over the summer is a time when you're going to do those things that you're passionate about. You get an extra day off of work to do what it is that you really want to do, that you're really good at, that you really enjoy doing. Some of you maybe are even lucky enough or blessed enough to have a job that is your passion, something that you're called to do that you also are passionate about doing. But as you go into this weekend, as you go into the summer, and you consider what your passion is, I want to challenge you as Paul was challenged. How will God shape your passion for his kingdom? How does God want to give you new eyes and new sight to see that your passion is good, but can always be redirected, even just by degrees, toward his kingdom? Not just for your own edification or your own personal good, but for the good of his church, for the good of God's kingdom here in Grand Junction, in our county, in our state, in our country, in our world. How is God inviting you, challenging you, to shape your passions for his kingdom? And how will he open your eyes to see? So this weekend, as you continue chasing your passions, as you continue following Jesus, I invite you to spend some time meditating on those words. How will your passion be of service to the kingdom of God? And how will God give you a vision to see the way? Let's come to God in prayer. God, we come gathered together this morning as people who are committed to following you. Followers, as our text said, of the way of Jesus. God, in the midst of our world, there are so many goals we have, so many distractions we see around us, but God, we are, like the Apostle Paul, passionate people. You have given each one of us gifts and talents and abilities, interests. And God, all of those are good. We celebrate those and we thank you for those. And Lord, once again, we ask this morning that through our time of worship, through our time of rest and relaxation and fun this weekend, Lord, that you would give us your eyes to see how our passions might be used for your kingdom. Father, enable us to see beyond ourselves, to see beyond the boundaries and the limits that we often set for ourselves, and to see, Lord, how you might use us in wonderful and great ways in your kingdom as it grows in this city and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, if you're